From the Seven Feathers Casino Studio, KQE in weather, showers, maybe a thunderstorm this afternoon. We were supposed to get to only 62. We have surpassed that. Showers, possible thunderstorm tonight, and then turning to showers down to about 50 on Saturday. Sunny and 71 expected, back to the 80s starting Sunday, and we'll be back to the 90s by about Thursday of next week. And in spite of the forecast and the odd weather day that we are having, we've gone beyond that 62. We're at 69 degrees now. KQE in News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We cover a lot of different topics around the Umpqua Valley and, of course, some campaign interviews underway this time of year. Monique Despain joining us again, Republican candidate for Congress. Thanks for being on today.
Hi, Kyle. Good to be back.
So a lot going on in Douglas County, a lot going on with your campaign, but I know you've been in Douglas County, so I'm talking about some of the things you've done down here.
Yes, it's been great. I've popped down there several times. It's just about an hour drive from South Eugene. I don't know if we've talked since we had a veteran roundtable in Winston. Did I tell you about that last time? It was a big success. We had it at the VFW there and had a lot of veterans. We had a couple of, like, Virgil Osborne, Rep Osborne, and Court Boyce, and Senator David Brock Smith, and about five or six veteran service providers. It was great to bring them all together. Sheriff was there too. The sheriff from Sheriff Hanlon, Sheriff Fabrizio, they employ about 20% of their law enforcement staff are veterans. So it was just really good to connect all of them. We've been door knocking in Roseburg, and just getting great reception. It's going very well there. Also, just this week, we were out on the coast, so I've been through Reedsport several times and then went down to Coos and Curry County and just listening to people and the issues that they're concerned about out there.
I've got to ask you about the door knocking. You know, it's interesting, given just all the changes in society and online platforms and everything that people tend to do, door knocking is still part of political campaigns, but it strikes me as being a little bit on the old-fashioned side. Do you find that some people just don't answer the door based on maybe not having an idea who's knocking at the door?
Well, we use common sense and go to the doors when people are likely to be home after they come home from work. And I'm having great conversations with people. I don't really feel like we're having good reception, that the doors are being answered. And I just think there's nothing better than old-fashioned face-to-face conversations. So not only at the door knocking, but the town halls that I plan to have when I'm elected, and just these groups that I meet with, women business groups, Rotary, all of these things. There's, despite modern technology and the fact that we use our devices, there's nothing better than face-to-face communication.
People, though, have got to be surprised to find someone running for Congress in their neighborhood.
Yes, they are. Yes, but, you know, we've started an aggressive ad campaign, and it's been really great to see those two platforms work together. So, honestly, most of the doors I'm knocking on, they have seen our ads. Have you seen our advertisements for the campaign?
I don't end up watching a lot of the regular network television just based on my schedule, mm-hmm. So I actually haven't yet.
Well, you can go to my website at MoniqueForCongress.com, and the little 30-second ads are there. A lot of work, a lot of money, and that really just is getting my message out, and the fact that I want to be the independent voice for Oregon in Washington, D.C., that Oregon is not being heard on its really unique issues, the federal forests, the ocean, the resources that we have, the proposed windmill farm by federal agency BOEM, Bureau of Ocean and Energy, Energy and Ocean Management. Nobody seems to be standing up for Oregon in Washington, D.C. And that's what my ads are, getting that message out that I want to be the voice for Oregon once and for all and not just a party stamp.
Let's talk about the wildfires and forest management. Things have quieted down with our fires here locally, but there is a little bit of a threat of lightning, but not too much in the next 24, 48 hours or so. But as you look at that, what would you propose and how do you work with the federal level to make changes in how federal lands are managed? It's been a decades-long back and forth.
You would think we'd be able to get on the same page and agree that we want to save our natural resources and use them responsibly to rejuvenate our economies and get back to the prosperity we had before when we could access our timber. Now we're just breathing our timber. So, well, first of all, thank God we've had a reprieve in the weather. It's just listening to your weather report because I haven't got the latest numbers, but we're over about 1.5 million acres burned just so far this year, which is the worst, the most burned on record. Clearly, there's something wrong. There's ample evidence from experts that we are not preventing forest fires. And it just, I noticed, I did a press release on this recently that you can find on my website, just calling out our elected federal representatives who are very proud of standing with our Governor Tina Kotek to request federal taxes, federal emergency funding to put the fires out that are killing so many animals, destroying what I just told you, 1.5 million acres of timber lands, forest lands, and all the creatures, including the endangered species in them, and also wiping out hundreds and hundreds of cattle for our ranchers in the east. Anyway, we need to put money and get organized about preventing these fires and bringing them to a reasonable level. And it just seems that all of the groups that are fighting for these decades you mentioned could come together with that goal of preventing these extreme mega fires we're experiencing now.
And of course, what happens too on the federal level is sometimes the direction from the top, well, largely depends on who happens to have been elected. So you have this shift back and forth depending on which administration, which party is in control.
Well, the only back and forth that's going to happen is happening now in this election. It's been 50 years of Democrat rule in this district, so they have full responsibility for failing to do what I just said we need, failing to stand up for Oregon in Washington, D.C., and demand attention to the solutions instead of just putting fires out after we've lost everything.
Let's talk about the border security issue and also as that ties into fentanyl trafficking and that kind of thing. We still are seeing a lot of pretty good-sized busts, even in Douglas County in recent weeks. Talk about that.
Yeah. Before we move on, I did want to point out that our current Congresswoman Val Hoyle voted to expand the definition of old growth. So, as I said, 50 years of Democrats really not wanting us to access the resources, which is how we do prevent our fires. So, yeah, a letter asking the Biden administration to consider expanding the definition of old growth, which is timber that cannot be disturbed. So back to the border, we also have an elected congresswoman who doesn't want to secure the border. And as you know from my campaign, that is priority number one, public safety. And Douglas County in particular really suffers with that I-5 corridor and does have to spend a lot of resources that could go to more positive functions for law enforcement, just keeping our communities safe from drug trafficking, human trafficking, weapons trafficking. So that open border, it's fueling all of that. And it's a priority for me when I'm in D.C. to work with any party, anyone in Congress who wants to protect the citizens of this country, honor national security, which is number one priority, one of the enumerated responsibilities of the federal government in the U.S. Constitution.
How often does a border issue come up as you travel around the district talking to residents?
It's primary concern, that and the economy. My telephone calls, it's been hours on phone calls, and then hours every night, I door knock every weekend. And that, of course, I talk about why I'm running, and it is to deliver solutions and not just talking and talking and saying, yeah, this is a terrible problem. That people want to see their neighborhoods be safe. I rarely meet a person who can't connect the dots between fentanyl in downtown Eugene and Roseburg and in our communities, the drug addiction, the increased property crime, all of this. I rarely meet a person who hasn't connected the dots between what they're seeing in their neighborhood and that open border.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It's 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Umpqua Valley Live at 4. We'll take a look at arts, entertainment, community events, a full program today, a number of guests coming in for things happening around the Umpqua Valley. Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress, joining us from Eugene this afternoon. Let's take a moment, back up a step for folks that maybe have not, maybe been a little more on the sidelines as we get towards the fall election cycle. Kind of remind them about your background, some of the things you've done over your life.
Yes, well, I'm a retired Air Force colonel, and I'm a mom and a lawyer that has practiced in Oregon since I came off of active duty to go to law school at Willamette University in 95, and I've been an Oregonian ever since. Had my twins the last week of law school. They, too, are Oregonians, and I've raised them in South Eugene and have done work as an attorney, standing up for victims, businesses, and so forth, and I've just never shied away from a worthy fight. And I think we have one here, that we have a career politician who's under federal investigation for corruption and pay-to-play scandal, and who isn't representing the majority of the people who live here in Washington, D.C. And so you asked about my door-knocking experiences. I'm telling you, people across the board are tired of career politicians, tired of corruption. They reject that in Val Hoyle, and they want real leadership from someone like me, who's worked my whole career to produce results, bring people in conflict together to produce results, and that's what people are ready for. And that's why I'm running, and that's what I promise to deliver.
At your stage of life, and given the things that you've done, you could easily continue on in some of your law pursuits and things like that. What led, though, to wanting to run for public office?
Well, like I told you, I have sons. My boys are the light of my life. They're 26 years old. I've worked hard to launch them into a successful life, and they worked hard too. And I'm worried about national security on such a level that I think it's going to affect all of us, but affect my sons and yours, and also the economy. Our people are being priced out of the American dream, not only the younger generation like our children, just feeling hopeless, even though they have good jobs, feeling hopeless about just buying a starter home and even being able to afford to have a child or two. That's just unacceptable in this great country. You know, all these veterans, there are 54,000 veterans in our district. And, you know, it's remarkable that of the six Congress people for representing Oregon, not one of them are a veteran, not one of them has national security experience. So I am eager to bring that to the table for Oregon. But I just feel that we will lose our country if we don't get off the trajectory that we're on right now.
Now, with your background in the military and in national security, do you think that will make it possible for you to land a committee assignment and a related committee?
Oh, I certainly hope so. Yes.
And what would you do if you got into that role?
I will be the voice for Oregon. I will tell the stories that I hear from our sheriff here in the district about the cartels, the human trafficking, the drug trafficking, the relentless assault on our communities, and the hemorrhaging of our community resources to just overcome those dangers, and how it's almost impossible to keep our communities safe without any resources. And we talked earlier about how we don't have access to the timber resources that this state relied upon so heavily. And it's just like the worst combination, right? An open border with tighter and tighter restrictions on accessing resources. And the homeless population is an enormous strain on our communities. Eugene has the highest homelessness rate per capita of any city in America. These are just absolutely untenable circumstances, and you just don't hear our elected officials getting serious about stopping it.
Now, in Oregon, we'll have a shift in the drug laws at some point in September. While you hope to go to Washington, D.C., are you hopeful that this will make a change in some of the issues related to the drugs in Oregon?
Yes, I do. I think the Measure 110 light was a compromise, because I firmly believe we have elected officials that want to grow the dependent population, not shrink it. Measure 110 to me is not the new amendment that's, you know, not in place even till September. It doesn't address what I think is the biggest problem, and it's something I talk about in my campaign all the time, and that's transparency and accountability. There are hundreds of millions of federal dollars coming into the state of Oregon to address, which I would hope would mean resolve and fix, the homelessness and the addiction problem. But yet Oregon, despite all that money, has the lowest beds per beds to serve the addicted and people who need care. Worst in the country. Still, after all the Measure 110 promises. So anyway, the accountability piece in the reformed Measure 110 is missing still, which is to measure performance of all the agencies and nonprofits that are receiving tax dollars to serve the homeless communities. So what we see right now is a burgeoning, growing, even people bust into our communities to receive services. We do not see any movement toward reducing the homelessness and addiction. The goal should be that homelessness is rare and brief, and we are getting the exact opposite of that. I do not see the Measure 110 reform is going to be adequate.
As we've gone through the last number of years in the current administration, the prior administration, we saw federal spending continue to go up at a pretty high rate. A lot of folks critical, really, of both parties for that. What are your thoughts about the federal budget deficit situation and just how to set the spending levels on the federal level?
We do have to reduce spending, federal spending. Absolutely. Inflation is just crushing everyone. Young people trying to get a start, an independent start in their lives, just can't keep up with the price of food, utilities. You know, we talk about how hard it is to access a home, but that house payment is just one thing. Utilities are up 30-40%. Food, of course. Insurance, all of these things are going up. The economy that we have is unsustainable. We definitely need to rein in federal spending, the printing of money, all of this. I believe the government needs to stick to some key functions and get it right.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. What's ahead for your campaign in the coming days?
We are on the final sprint. We're doing a lot of door knocking, more advertising, and just, you know, it's also a fundraising grind for me, but we're just chugging along, raising money and reaching out to voters every single day. You can donate at MoniqueForCongress.com. And this race is considered one of the top 10 most competitive congressional races in the United States. I really feel confident that the people are finally going to be heard in Washington, D.C. when I'm elected.
And again, if folks want to get connected with your campaign, what was that website address?
Monique, ForCongress.com. The F-O-R is spelled out. MoniqueForCongress.com.
Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Take care.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.